in the book of John. Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, and he started out talking about water. And in order to get people's attention, most of the time I would say you would have to talk about something that they are interested in. And sometimes I cannot carry on a conversation with people because I do not understand what they are talking about. And that's very important that we talk about things that people can understand and maybe they're interested in. You find that people can take the complex and make it simple, or they can take the simple and make it complex. And we look at Jesus. Jesus started talking to the woman at the well, water. And when she received the water in her life, the Bible says that the men said they wanted to go see what was happening because they had never seen and heard of a miracle where a person can carry water within, that it could be a benefit. Now, of course, our body does exist with water. The Bible said the life of the flesh is in the blood. The blood is what carries the life. And so water is very important. They say if you want to lose weight, drink a lot of water with a diet. And water does things for your body that other things cannot do. But praise God, she received something more important than physical water, and that was spiritual water, the water of life. Jesus says that he that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him shall receive. And the Bible said that Jesus said that the water flows from within. It's a refreshing thing. It's a life-giving thing. And no one likes to live at a place where there's no water. Water is one of the first and most important things. But in the spiritual realm, I think about this and continue what I said this morning. Jesus talking to the woman at the well, he talked to the blind Bartimaeus, he talked to so many different people, and he always talked about simple things that they could understand, and then he leads into something that they could not understand and they cannot comprehend. When you got saved, you believed enough to have eternal life. But then you've been learning ever since, and the longer you live, you say, my goodness, I never realized how wonderful it was to be a child of God or to be a Christian. And so I say, number one, Jesus took the complex and simplified it. If we are going to be effective with people, we are going to have to be able to take the complicated, the things that are so jumbled up, and make sense out of it by the word of God and by praising his name and looking to the things of God. And so take the simple, take the complex and make it simple. Don't try to tell everybody every detail of everything and say this is the way it's going to be. Most of the people try to take the things and they will come up with such big sounding words, and people say, boy, they're real smart. And one man said when he went to church, he could not keep up with the preacher. He needed a dictionary and he needed an explanation, so he was so complicated. Well, praise God, you can talk about eternal life. It's not those two things. People are concerned about something that will last. Okay, he said, I give unto them eternal life. And so people's concerned about life. Well, he talked about that. And the Bible said I give unto them eternal life. And that's not really getting complicated, eternal. How? And somebody said, I sit at that red light forever. I said, no, you're not there even now. So you find that you did not sit there forever. It took them forever to get my food. It took them forever. And it took an eternity. No, we don't know what eternity is. But we do know what Jesus said. He said, I give unto them eternal. How long is eternal? Well, people say, well, I tell you, I think it will last as long as so and so. No, he said eternal. Don't complicate what he makes so simple. Eternal. Eternal. And now, if you want something to really boggle your mind, sit down and try to figure out eternity. It's mentioned twice in the Bible, I believe they said. Eternity. The Bible said he put eternity in the heart. He put something here that is eternal. And the reason it's eternal is because of this. The Bible says God breathed into his nostrils when he created Adam. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And God breathed, and I'm glad that we have the word of God that we can look at and say, praise God, I'm glad we have something that's eternal. Everything we see is temporal. Our flesh is temporal. The Bible says we have eternal life. The trees and the houses and the land, but we see it's temporal. The Bible says God's going to destroy the land. He's going to destroy it. The Bible says he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no more sea. But he said, I give unto them eternal life. And I'm glad for the eternality of what God has given us. And we find that he's given us the eternal word. The Bible says forever, O Lord, thy word. In Psalms 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word. Forever, forever. Now, when God says forever, you can mean, he means forever. When God says eternal, he means eternal. Now, we don't mean what we say. We say, I love you, and we don't mean it sometimes. We say, I will do anything I can to, if it doesn't cost me anything. I will go the extra mile, but I won't go the third mile. I will not stay with you forever, and I'm not going to put up with this forever. But praise God, I'm glad God started something in your soul. He's going to continue, and the Bible says he's going to perform it until the day of Christ. He's going to keep working on you, and he's going to see that you are right when you stand before him. When you open the book, there's nothing, glory to God, that he can hold against you because he took your sins as far as the east is from the west. So far hath he removed our iniquities from us. And then we say, oh, well, that don't sound too exciting to me. It sounds real exciting to me. Hallelujah. My sins were washed away in the blood of the Lamb, and I have eternal life. And forever, forever, and forever. If you find, and I've talked to several preachers, and I said, and we've come to this, everyone has said this, if you start talking about eternity and eternal, it will blow your mind. How long? Goodness sakes alive. I said, if people would suffer in this world and then die and go to hell, my, that is not going to be temporary. It is eternal. My, how we need to pray that God will have, and I thought about this when people reject Christ, reject him and not expecting him to return, say, he won't care, it won't matter what I do. Praise God, I'm glad. It does make a lot of difference, makes all the difference in the world what we do, but I'm glad we have eternal life. Jesus took the complex and simplified it. Number two, we take the simple and make it complicated. If you want to find out how complicated it can get, talk to a lawyer. Look at the fine print on a contract. Turn the sheet over and just try to read it, and you need a magnifying glass to see it. But you better read the fine print in God's word, because God says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. But glory to God, I'm glad God made it simple. He said, now think about this. This is so complicated, nobody can understand it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now that is so complicated, and people go, oh, we got a big bang theory. Glory to God, it was a bang. It's going to end at the end, not the beginning. And we find that this watch, and that somebody put a little bunch of metal in a can and shook it up and threw it out, and look what happened. And look at what God has done. I don't believe it's so. It takes more faith to believe what they say than what God says. And I was looking at the earth. I said, "My, how God made this is a miracle. Glory to God!" And somebody said, "How is he going to do it?" I don't give a rip how God's going to do it. Hallelujah! He's doing it. Hallelujah! And I'm glad he's giving me joy. I don't know how we can shout and praise God with what's going on in the world, but it's something within. The spring in the living water, and so we find that the people and they go off to law school and get a degree, and they come back and they can complicate things, and you never know what they say. That Jesus takes the complex and simplifies it, and we take the simple and make it complicated. And then we find something else about the Word of God. We find that people want to dissect the Word. They want to tear it apart and say, well, this is what it says, but I'll tell you what it means. Well, praise God, the Holy Ghost will tell you what it means. And I'm glad that the Holy Spirit can direct you and help you to understand the things of God. People want to probe instead of proclaim. They want to probe into things that they don't need to know. They want to know things that God did not intend for them to know. You know, I thought about this. Daniel was given inspiration from God to interpret a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. We find that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream, and God allowed Daniel to understand what he was writing. And Daniel went in there and he prayed, and he said, God, I want you to help me to know what he dreamed, and God told him. And God revealed to him, Nebuchadnezzar, what was going to happen in the end time. And God said, when in the days of these kings, God's going to set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And Daniel understood what he was talking about. But you know, when Daniel had a dream and they saw a vision, he said, God, when is this going to happen? God said, seal it up. Well, we find that people want to probe instead of proclaim. Then we find something else. Many, and this is where people are today, many people are specializing in seminars for marriage. And I will say this, I have said this to many people when they talk about marriage problems. I said, are you willing to be what God wants you to be? We find, number two, that there are seminars for soul winning. People go off soul winning seminars. And sometimes, I'll tell you what it did for me, I learned something from a soul winning seminar. But you know what? When you see what people, other people are doing and how they do it, you could become discouraged if you can't do it like they did it. And they say, this is the way you do it. And this is how you do this. And they have all of the rules and regulations set up, marriages. And then there's seminars for soul winning. Okay, here's another one. They have seminars for child rearing. And then they say, well, don't discipline him. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. And the Bible says, beat thy son while there is hope. Now, I know a beating to me would take a stick or something. Now, I do say this, that daddy used a switch. And somebody said that they grew up and they did not know it was a peach tree in the backyard. They thought it was a switch tree. And I remember my dad, it was what they call a sugarberry tree. That was one of the toughest switches. Now, mom and dad didn't beat and holler and scream all the time. They didn't have to. Daddy could just say, come here. Now, mama said, if you're not back by the time I count to 10, I'm going to wear you out. And me being a little dumbo, I said, well, I better get back because I don't want to get worn out. But I found out later that if I'd have used my noggin, I could have said, well, if I'm not back, she can't whip me. One fellow said, mama said, if you go off down to the creek and drown, I'm going to whip you. You stay away from that water. And he said, well, and he told my brother, said, I can't go to that creek. Said, my mama said, if I drown, go down and drown, she's going to beat me. Well, praise God, I'm glad. There's a seminar for child rearing. And the children begin to rule, and the children get their way. Well, praise God, I'll tell you how my children got their way. They were so good and kind and gentle. And I'll tell you, and I'm going to use Mariana again as an illustration. Mariana one time had wanted to go to, and I was on trouble call, and she said, I want to go with so-and-so, go to so-and-so's house. And I said, Mariana, I said, I'm on standby and so forth, and you can't go. And she didn't know I was listening, but she had, and this is what touched my heart. She had already packed her clothes in a brown sack, had it stuck under the bed, and she was ready to go if I said yes. But I heard it on the phone, and she called the girl, and called a friend. She said, Daddy said I can't come. And I heard that. I said, my goodness, that touched my heart. She didn't pitch a fit and scream and holler and carry on. You know, if you teach a child to do a certain thing, you can teach him to lay down and holler and scream to get a biscuit like a dog. You can roll over if you want a biscuit. And so Mariana just said, she was so humble. And I said, Mariana, I said, do you know where they live? She said, yes. I said, well, I'll call them and tell them I got to take my daughter up here. So what I said, she got her way. Now, that might have been the way she said, I know how I can get my way. I can tell you I'm going to act like I'm a little saint. A seminar in child rearing. If you hear somebody yelling at their children, they are not in control. The children are, not the parent. And I didn't have to yell and scream at our children, but I do thank God for what they did and how they did it. And somebody said, I told my children, I'll give you a dime if you don't pitch a fit, and I'll give you a whipping if you do. But I'm saying you can use psychology, I suppose, but we find that there are seminars on child rearing. And when it comes to the Bible, people say, well, let the children have their way and don't warp their mind. Well, mom warped something that wasn't my mind. Seminars for child rearing. And then we find there are seminars for finances. Now people that's involved in finances, they can tell you how many times finances are mentioned in the Bible. And they can tell you all the things about finances. And Tommy has really helped a lot of people by Dave Ramsey. and Dave Ramsey's helped people, and he's helped people get out of debt. Everything has to be specialized. We have to have this group of people. They are on this committee, and these are running this. I like it when everybody loves God and walks with Him. Now, I say all of these are necessary that I've mentioned. It's important that we obey the Word of God. Now, I want to get down to the conclusion of what I started several weeks ago, and I want you to look in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I want you to see something here that would solve these problems. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Now, we've got too many gods in this world. We've got too many areas that we're going in, and we're omitting some, and we're concentrating on some to excess, and we're eliminating, and we're not taking care of some of the things that we should take care of. People allow children to rule, and people allow the wives to rule, and some allow their husbands to rule, and some allow their neighbors to tell them what to do, and some allows the school to do it. But we find here, the Lord is one Lord. God is one Lord. The Bible says the Lord, our God, is one Lord. Now, get that established. Who do we give an account to? Every individual will give an account of themselves unto God. Every person. That ought to be settled in our heart and mind. Then the Bible said, and thou shalt love the Lord. My, if we love the Lord. You know the reason you can have a happy marriage is because you love the Lord. You know why you can be a soul winner is because you love the Lord. Why can you do all of these wonderful things that you need to do, and we go off and spend thousands of dollars to get these books and seminars and all the CDs and this? We can learn about rearing children. We can learn about finances. We can learn all of this. It's in the Bible. And boy, if you want to find out, you just talk with Tommy, and they can point out the things of finances. And you can look at that. But everything, and this is one reason I like the Bible, so it answers every question. It gives the answer. It tells you how you can live better on 90% than you can 10%. I'm glad God knows how to deal with finances, and God knows how to deal with child rearing. He knows how to deal with soul winning. The Bible said men ought always to pray and not to faint. So I'm saying prayers is included, soul winning is included, all of these wonderful, glorious things are included. And people say, I don't have time to pray. Hallelujah. I'm glad I have time to pray, and I can pray. The Bible said pray without ceasing, pray about everything, in all things give thanks. And then we find that it's so important that we can find the answers in the Bible. I'm glad it's wonderful to have the Word of God. And we find that this is necessary, but we find that Deuteronomy chapter 6 tells us the remedy for many of these problems that we could have the answer to if we'd only read the Bible. And so the Bible says here, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Well, Lord, I need money. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. What did I preach a couple of weeks ago? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added. Well, we worried about what he's added, but praise God, he said, put him first. Well, we don't. We got finances problems. We got marriage problems. We got all kind of hurting, all kind of heartaches and sorrows and disappointment. But glory to God, bring it to Jesus Christ. Trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart unto him. God is a refuge for us. I will trust in the Lord. And the Bible says, hallelujah, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And I'm glad we can rejoice in his benefits, in his glory, in his power, in his majestic beauty. And I'm glad we can see that Jesus Christ put him first. The reason I enjoy my wife is because we want to put God first. The reason I can enjoy my children and praise God for them and the grandchildren is when we put God first. Hallelujah. I'm glad we can rejoice in the things of God. The Bible says, thou shalt with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. You know, I've seen children sometimes. How much do you love me? I love you with all. And there's, I love you with all my heart. And I love you this way, love you that. And we find that it's important. And the Bible said, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And if we don't have it in our heart to love, we don't have it in our heart to live right, don't have it in our heart, it ain't going to help. It's not going to work. Oh, I'll tell you what, we can go through the motions, but praise God, I'm glad for someone that made a statement, I'm not going to call a name, said, I'm looking forward to going to the house of God. You know what? I'm also looking forward to preaching. I'm glad I've enjoyed preaching. I'm glad when you start putting God first. and God starts blessing. It makes you enjoy the blessing of God. And I'll tell you what, when I become what I ought to be, people are going to become more what they ought to be. The more I pray for myself, the more I can pray for you. And the more closer I get to God, the better off I am in helping you. And thank God the Bible says, these words shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house. Sounds kind of fanatical to me, but it says, and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give the great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware